All right, welcome to the Bitcoin Gauntlet, episode 3 with HODL Harry. How you doing, Harry?
I'm good. Thank you for having me, Tom.
Thanks for coming on. Tell the guests a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your Bitcoin story and what you're up to.
I'll try to keep it short. I'm in Bitcoin for a little over 3 years now. My best friend, Stacking Beats on Noster, is the one who got me into everything like Bitcoin, Carnivore, Noster, relationships, Jack Cruise. And I'm a daily user of Noster, and I try to help as many people get into Bitcoin and Noster.
Great. All stuff I like as well. Carnivore, Noster, Bitcoin education, great stuff. All right, so the gauntlet for any new viewers, and to give a quick overview for you, you'll be presented with one of three categories, all related to Bitcoin. You'll pick one, then you'll see three prompts, and you will have to pick one and choose to argue in the affirmative or the negative for that prompt. We'll have a little discussion. Maybe I'll try to steel man the other side. And then we'll repeat that for four rounds total. So, are you ready, Harry?
I'm ready.
All right. Round one is Austrian Economics 1, because there will be an Austrian Economics 2 later if you don't want to pick it now. Or mining or Bitcoin culture.
I think I have to go with Bitcoin culture.
All right, Bitcoin culture. Number one, toxicity is a net benefit for Bitcoin. Number two, Bitcoiners are better off not telling anyone they're involved with or hold Bitcoin, i.e., are Bitcoiners. Or number three, Bitcoiners need to focus their messaging more on Bitcoin and less on other popular cultural issues.
Yeah, I'm doubting between one and two. I'll just take two of them,
Okay.
and I'll go. I can go either way, actually, like affirmative or negative.
Okay, well, pick whichever one you feel a little bit more strongly about, and then we'll talk about it.
I would say I would go to say Bitcoiners, like, in my opinion, there's no problem telling you're into Bitcoin or that you're a Bitcoiner, but I would advise not to say you're holy. I would advise not to say how much Bitcoin you're holding. Like, it's still okay to say if you're holding Bitcoin, but maybe not the exact amount. And the thing is, if you're telling you're a Bitcoiner, you're in some cases already putting like a hit on your back. Like, it can be dangerous to who you're telling it to. But on the other hand, I feel like you should come out. Sorry. You should be proud for what you're standing for, and willing to come out for it.
I think there's a lot of different trade-offs that you could make. There's the element of telling people about it and spreading the good word. There's also, telling people about it and like standing up and making it seem like you're not afraid of whatever, say repercussions from the state. That it's not a dangerous technology. It's not necessarily for nefarious people. It's just a kind of a neutral technology that is the most optimal savings technology or most optimal money technology possible.
Yeah, for sure. Like, it's also People don't hesitate to tell you that I invested a lot in their house or that they are investing in gold. So I don't think there should be a difference for Bitcoin. Like you said, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just depending on how you view it, like it's just a solution or an investment or whatever you want to call it.
I guess maybe to go a little bit more into the why not side, you could say like every other form of property is defended by the state, like within the parameters of the state, whereas Bitcoin creates its own system of property right that's outside of the system of the state. So if you get it stolen, there's really nobody that can help you. I mean, there are some cases of, say, like the Bitfinex coins getting recovered, and I've heard Saifedean talk about how maybe thefts will go down because the ledger is transparent, so stolen coins will be seen. So trade-offs.
Yeah, if I disclose to people that I hold a certain amount of Bitcoin, I also try to explain that it's more difficult to steal than anything else.
Right. Yeah, I mean that's what's so great about Bitcoin. It moves the game theoretical shilling point dramatically in favor of the defender, whereas now we're really in favor of the attacker, in my opinion. I would definitely say don't tell anybody how much you have. Maybe don't even give ranges.
No. Maybe show like small amounts that you have on your Lightning wallet, but never talk about your cold storage.
Yeah, I think I have a hat that says HFSP, and for anyone who doesn't know what that acronym means, it says have fun staying poor. And lately I have been wearing the hat not just for non-coiners, we tell non-coiners to have fun staying poor, but I've also been wearing it as a reminder to myself to have fun staying poor, as a roundabout way of saying stay humble and stack sats. So not only does it help you save sats, it also makes you seem like you're poor and maybe less likely of a good target.
Yeah, the thing is, it's also how you present yourself. Like with me, they see my clothes are a bit worn out. They see I don't drive any luxury cars. I'm not living in a mansion. Like, yeah, it's kind of the appearance also that matters.
Yeah, an orange Lamborghini with Bitcoin decals is maybe not the best OPSEC.
Indeed.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to round two. So we have adoption, network slash consensus, or miscellaneous one.
Yeah, I will go with adoption.
All right. Adoption. Number one, eventually adoption will accelerate and break diminishing returns. Number two, countries that attempt CBDCs will hyper Bitcoinize faster than those who don't. And three, Bitcoiners of today are actually too early, not too late.
Can you explain the break diminishing returns?
Yeah, so if you look at the first three halving cycles, 2014 or 13, 17, and 21, the amount that Bitcoin has appreciated in price has decreased in time. If you really have to look at it in a log scale, it's following that logarithmic.
I think I understand now. I have to go with one or with three.
I'd vote for one.
One
Nobody
then.
has chosen one yet, so
I'll do one then.
okay. So you're in affirmative or negative?
Affirmative.
Okay.
Yeah, I think adoption will indeed accelerate and maybe also break diminishing returns. But even if it breaks the diminishing returns, it will not break it as badly. Like, you will always be better off adopting Bitcoin any time in your life than not adopting it. Like, it's compared to everything, Bitcoin will still be the best option to go. And yeah, even though with the adoption that will accelerate, is the same like the internet. Like, people are still benefiting now from adopting the internet than from the beginning. And even with the diminishing returns, like, Bitcoin is not about only the gains and the diminishing returns. It's about a lot more. And even with the diminishing returns, like, people will still benefit from the other effects that Bitcoin will provide. Like, let's say in a very positive future, that it will indeed make banks obsolete. It will be a far better functioning society than we have now. Like, there will be less friction, there will be more consensus. Yeah, there will be no nasty surprises or situations like becoming unbanked because you're in control of everything. Like, you're your own bank.
Yeah. So what do you think will break the diminishing returns? Like, so presumably you think that adoption will at some point accelerate. So what's the tipping point, or what's the you know, if you subscribe to the Parker Lewis is gradually then suddenly, like what's the suddenly catalyst?
I always tell people that pain is the best teacher. So if your country is applying too many regulations and gives you little to no chances to improve your life and hold your value, then the adoption will normally accelerates quite fast.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of like the number two I have here about CBDCs, like
Yeah, indeed, that's one of the examples you could give.
do you think it's like the more that the state attempts to attack the individual, and the more that the state violates property rights, the faster Bitcoin will grow, and then the faster Bitcoin grows, the more that the state tries to attack property rights to try and keep itself alive? Or like, how do you see that dynamic playing out?
Yeah, in my mind, I would think, it's difficult to predict the future, but
Tough one.
yeah, they will not go down without a fight. And you can see it now. I probably in most countries, like, they keep implementing stupid rules and stupid regulations. So they can just fine you more and steal more of your value. And after a while, with every recession and depression, there's always gonna be insane regulations and insane rules that will just drive people to question things.
Yeah, they're in a bit of a bind, because you know the more that they inflate and the more that they steal, the more incentive that people have to adopt Bitcoin, and that just makes their situation worse. And even if in the event that they you know got really fiscally responsible and really started to respect property rights, Bitcoin is still just better money anyway. So Bitcoin is on its own monetization path, even if they get responsible. So, It's a yeah.
Yeah, the thing is, we can always look back in history and see what happened there. Like all the things that happened before the empires fell.
Indeed. Yeah, they get like an animal trapped in a corner.
Yeah, like there have been hundreds or thousands of revolutions throughout history, and to my knowledge, it always happened because the state was growing too greedy and acting too selfish.
Yeah, I can't remember the quote off the top of my head. It's something like a dying country or a dying empire accumulates laws, like a dying man accumulates remedies, something like that. All right. Round, want to move on to round three? Okay. Round three, we have protocol upgrades, political philosophy, and Noster.
Yeah, I know Ben talked about Noster, so I would be inclined to take something else, but I cannot really talk about the protocol upgrades or the political philosophy, so I kind of have to go with Noster.
Yeah, this is a popular one, I think for good reason. So let's do it. Noster. Number one, Noster helps Bitcoin more than Bitcoin helps Noster. Number two, Noster will fall into the same centralization trend or trap as email and today's social media sites did. Or number three, Noster keys need easier backups, authentication, rotation, etc., before Noster can go mainstream.
I kind of have to go with one
Okay.
with affirmative. Like Noster helps Bitcoin more than Bitcoin helps Noster. I can only say from my own experience that Noster really helped a lot of people I know and new people on Noster get into Bitcoin. Then Bitcoin helped Noster. I've been trying to orange pill many of my friends for over 3 years, and I didn't have any single success. But this year I had my first orange pill success, and it was from a guy, DFox King on Noster. He came to Noster because he heard about it from Ian Carroll, and then we started talking, and he was asking some questions about Bitcoin, and I explained as much as I could to him. And to my surprise, the guy did the work, and he's fully orange pilled now, and he sees the value of Bitcoin. But in the end, it all started with Noster, actually. Like, Noster is really a great place to meet like-minded people who are searching for more freedom and more responsibility. And I can also say with some of my acquaintances in real life and friends, it was way easier for me to get them on Noster than to get them into Bitcoin. I also think it's because money is how do you say, like, an issue people don't really want to speak about? And with Noster, you're just talking about messaging protocol, but it's people are getting tired of the social media platforms because they are either harassed by bots or don't get many valuable interactions with it. Like with me, I had Twitter for 1 year. I didn't have any single valuable interaction on it. And with Noster, like, the people are so genuine and so willing to help, and they have so much valuable things to share. Like, it's for me, it was really a different world.
Yeah, I remember, I think it was in your podcast with Ben Werman, you had some examples of Nosser interactions and how people were helping each other and being a lot friendlier. I think that's right. So what do you think it is about, say, the pathway from Nosser and then Bitcoin? How do you get people to, use Nosser first, and then what is it about Nosser that gets them to understand Bitcoin more?
Yeah, in my case, I make a lot of memes and I show my memes to my friends, but then I also show them, like, yeah, I'm getting zapped for this. Like, I'm getting real actual value for this. And then it seems to spark some interest with them.
Okay. Yeah. Has there been any aspect of the decentralization, censorship resistance, has that crossed over from Nosser to Bitcoin and anybody yet?
Actually, I with my friends and family, actually not really. Because with Noster, it's more like a hands-on thingy and you get direct results. But with Bitcoin, you really have to study a lot before you can understand the value of Bitcoin. With Noster, it's more hands-on and fast, but with Bitcoin, with Nosser, it's easier to see the problems with the social media platforms because you can see, like, the algorithm sucks, some of the people suck. There's a lot more hostility and animosity on the social media platforms, and on Nosster, it's really, in my experience, a lot of positivity and caring people.
Yeah, I've found that as well. From personal experience, my time on Twitter, especially during the censorship regime around COVID and all the drugs associated with that era, it makes you almost wanna lash out a little bit. At least in my experience, unfortunately, because the censorship and the deplatforming was so brazen. And blatant by the state. And coming to Noster, you feel like maybe you don't have to test the boundaries or be kind of like testing the waters or trying to get banned on purpose or trying to fool around that way because you can't get banned. I mean, relays can kick you off, but their relay is their property, and you can always spin up your own relay if you want. But I do find people on Nostr are friendlier, and there's no, I mean, there can be algorithms with Nostr, right? But at least for the time being, it's mostly time based. There's no algorithms that are maximizing for outrage, and God only knows what other kind of black box algos are going on to try and fiddle with people's emotional states. I think Facebook was famous for that, like trying to modulate people's emotions to, or even like run experiments on individuals by feeding them certain content. So we don't have any of that on Nostr yet. It doesn't, way too early for that kind of thing. So.
Yeah, I also don't. I even if you will have those things on Noster, it's easy to filter it out and block it. Like, you can also tell the people that came from Twitter or Facebook or anywhere else, when they come on Noster, they still have that negativity in them. Like, people who are on Noster for more than a year, like, it's usually very positive people.
Yeah, there's a the weight gets taken off. I mean, it takes maybe a little bit of time to just go into this whole new paradigm. I mean, kind of like Bitcoin too, right? To go from being a fiat person to a Bitcoin person, that maybe takes a little bit of time. It's a big change.
Yeah, and the thing with me also was with Facebook and other things, I never really posted that much. And if I did, I wasn't really getting a lot of interaction or positive interactions. And that's why when I got on Noster, I think the first year I just kept lurking for information and other things. But after 1 year, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna start posting things. And yeah, it's been going really well. Like I was never really much into social media things, but Noster really got me hooked now.
Yeah, it's great. The openness, phenomenal. And yeah, the Bitcoin integration too. I mean, I'd be curious to if say we didn't have Bitcoin, how well Nostr would be doing if Bitcoin didn't exist, if there were no Zaps or anything. How much less adoption or I don't know. More adoption there would be without Bitcoin.
Yeah, I don't think I would have I would have gone on Noster without Bitcoin actually. Like I can also say when I got Orange built and I kind of understood the technology of Bitcoin, I was like, yeah, I will never come across any other technology that will be so amazing as Bitcoin. But then suddenly, like Noster is here, and it's like the perfect combo. Like I'm still so grateful that Noster exists.
Yeah, I'm inclined to say there's no second best technology we've ever had in human history after Bitcoin, but Nostr may be up there as a second. And yeah, I feel the same way too. I mean, for me it was Bitcoin, and then a lot longer later than I would care to admit, Lightning. I didn't really get Bitcoin until I got Lightning and how Bitcoin is a protocol. I mean, similar to like the internet protocol stack. And then yeah, once I found Nostr too, it was like it felt like finding Bitcoin for the first time. When you have that first Bitcoin Eureka moment, it felt very similar to that. So it's a good sign.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Lightning because I only got into Lightning when I got into Noster. That's also one of the things. Like, I never used Lightning before, but now, thanks to Noster, I'm using it almost daily. And now I also see the value from Lightning and also got interested in it more. Like I still have a lot to learn. Like the learning never stops. But before I was just buying some Bitcoin and putting it on my cold storage, and that was about it. But now with Noster, like I zap people from all over the world. I order things from all over the world. Like it's so amazing and so cheap and fast.
Yeah, it's tremendous. Super exciting. All right, so let's go on to our final round four. We have Austrian Economics 2, Regulation, and Miscellaneous 2.
Oh. Yeah, with the Austrian economics, I really don't want to come over as a dumbass, so I'm gonna skip on that. The regulation, like I said before, I'm not really paying much attention to regulation, so I have to go with miscellaneous then.
Okay, miscellaneous too. Let's see what's in here. All right, number one, Bitcoin is not a, in parentheses, inflation hedge. Number two, China stands more to lose from Bitcoin's monetization than the USA. And number three, secure elements aren't necessary for hardware wallets.
Let me see if I get the second question correct. Like, if China adopts Bitcoin, that they will lose more of their control? Or how
I
is
guess
it?
I could have phrased this a little better. Maybe the Chinese government versus the United States government. So which government stands to lose more from Bitcoin's monetization?
I don't think any government will lose from Bitcoin's monetization. Hey, maybe some power and some reach. The thing is, I want to go with the first question, but it's kind of an obvious one. And what do you mean with the third question?
So let's see. Yeah, secure elements aren't necessary for hardware wallets. So wallets, or si rather, sorry, signing devices, like Cold Card, Ledger, Trezor, Bitbox, Jade, that you don't need a secure element in there to pr store the seed or to help with seed generation.
I think I will go with the third question then.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say it is actually very necessary to have secure elements for hardware wallets because if you're gonna put your time and value into something, you would want it to be secure. Like with your bank account, it's like four digits. Like it's easy to hack, it's easy to steal with the hardware wallets and the entropy. Like it's the chances of someone getting to your Bitcoin is almost nil.
Yeah, so this one I'm not a super technical person, and before the seed signers really come after me, just know that. So I guess the case for not having a secure element is that you could make say a seed signer, and as far as I understand, and I hope I'm correct here, that every time you unplug the device, the seed is not stored on the device. So if someone had physical access to the device, it doesn't even matter because there's just nothing on there. I'd say the trade-off with that, though, is that every time you want to use it, you would have to access your private key material, your seed backup, and then put that in. And, accessing private key material may have its own risks too. So there's also the element of that the as currently no secure element on the market is open source or has open source firmware. I know that there's some work being done on that there's one either about to come out or is in development. So that'll be a nice upgrade, but that's the other critique I think people have of secure elements as well.
Yeah, one of the good things that you mentioned, like your seed is not really stored in the device. It also makes a good learning curve for people to understand how important something can be. Like if you're relying on the device, yeah, people can just come into your house and steal the device and steal all your time and value that you've been gathering for as long as you've been gathering it. But because it's so difficult, it really forces people to grow in their responsibility. Like the same with Noster. I have my Noster, how do you see it? My NSEC, my secrets key. Yeah, I have my secrets key also on the steel plate, and I also have it hidden. So, and it's the same with my cold storage. Like the nice thing of this is it gives you so many options and possibilities to transfer it also. Like if you need to flee from your country because the government is getting too greedy or too aggressive, or you're in a war-torn country and you need to escape with your life savings. Like when you go to an airport, it's easy to confiscate your gold. It's easy to confiscate your cash. You cannot take your house with you. And with your signing device, yeah, you can take your signing device and they can confiscate you, but they will not have access to your value. And the nice thing is, you can just transport 12 to 24 words or even more words, and you can hide it or implement it in anything. You can get a tattoo, you can put it on a rock, you can put it on your shoes. Like there's so many ways to transport your value, and that's one of the amazing things about it.
Yeah, it's just information at the end of the day. So you can turn it into all kinds of things. I think if I recall correctly, Andreas Antonopoulos one time, I think maybe broadcasted a Bitcoin transaction with emojis on Twitter or something like that. Or I guess you could even theoretically turn the seed words into some kind of emoji standard. I don't know. Or maybe like some kind of image. I've heard about that too. You could turn them into some kind of image as well. So,
Yeah, the possibilities are endless actually. And that's the
yeah.
great thing about it. Like you would never expect, like you said, you have now with eCash, you can send transactions in emojis. So you can also probably hide 24 or more or less words in an emoji and nobody will ever know. Like you can make a song and it will be your seed phrase. You can make poems, you can write a book, like you can write it in Braille. Like yeah, the privacy of it and the portability of it is amazing.
Yeah. Good luck trying to stop Bitcoin transactions. Just being able to broadcast them in all those different ways. It's just you can't stop this information. So, extremely bullish. All right. So, while I think about a score, I don't know if you listened to the second episode. I have a bonus question. Which I forgot to do with Ben, but I have the listeners won't be able to get to see, but I have a hat here, and the hats is the bonus question, which says, where does the yield come from? So for bonus points, where does the yield come from? And extra points for short answers, funny answers, extremely novel answers, etc.
Oh, where does the yield come from? I would say from the growth you made studying all of this.
All right, yeah.
I remember that the previous guest said the yield comes from hodling,
Oh, okay, so you
but
did listen. Okay.
yeah. But for me, Bitcoin gave so much more. Like it really opened the doors to so many other truths and so many other positive things. Like it's not only about the money, it's really, yeah, it's life-changing information.
Yeah, I would agree. Bitcoin helps you to think more clearly, I think, and
Oh.
helps you to find a lot more signal in the world, because
I
you
can
have
also,
something
yeah.
solid to stand on. Yeah.
I can also say Bitcoin really helped me grow up a lot, mature a lot, be more responsible. And it gives you satisfaction in so many ways because now I'm actually able to teach people valuable things and there's nothing more rewarding than helping people.
Yeah, I agree.
Like I'm insanely grateful for for living in this era.
Yeah, it's wild to be able to be here to see Bitcoin's monetization and just the beginning. So.
And also to give an example with this, I never expected to come on podcasts and talk about things that would help people. Like I know I didn't perform all the best with the gauntlet now, but if I can talk about things, or if I can talk from experiences, then I don't know. It's just it humbles you, but I'm also filled with so much gratitude.
Yeah, I co-sign all of that. And so after four rounds and a bonus question, we have to give Harry here a score. And so I'm going to go with an 18.
18.
That's 18. I believe that's our new high score
I think you're being
for the
overly
Bitcoin
generous.
Gauntlet. And so thank you, Harry, for bravely taking on the Bitcoin gauntlet. You did a great job. Super fun chatting. And yeah, I hope you had a good time.
Yeah, thank you so much, Tom.
And if there's anything else you wanted to say about what you're up to or anything you wanted to plug, by all means.
Yeah, the funny thing is, like I said, I'm into a lot of healing things now. Like I'm listening to a lot of Jack Cruz's advice, and it's really helping a lot. People should spend a lot more time in the sun. And what I'm also doing, I'm trying to get out of big pharma products. So I'm making my own soap and I'm making my own tallow. And after that's finished, I'll see what my next project is.
Excellent. Yes, great stuff. I'm also a Sun Maxi myself, so that's all great to hear. All right. Well, thank you very much, Harry, for being on the Bitcoin Gauntlet, and take care.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, man.